I was at Camp Ashraf. We had a general meeting with Massoud and Maryam Rajavi himself when the incident happened, 9/11 incident happened. We were happy that such attack will happen in U.S. For 3 days, as a matter of fact, we had a party. During the years that I was in Ashraf, he talked about Islam and U.S. and the war between, a long battle between us and U.S. as an imperialism, that we will one day, actually we will face each other. And what happened 9/11, September 9/11, was what he always was talking about there.
Their legal status in the United States is that of a terrorist organization. Until this year, the European Union also had them on their terrorist list. But in January 2009, they were removed for legal reasons after Britain had delisted them in 2008. Among Iranians, they're considered a dangerous armed group with the potential for ruthless acts of violence. In Iran, they are known as the Monafiqin, or the hypocrites. It was the early 1960s in Iran, and the Shah, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, was becoming increasingly despised for his provocative imposition of Western liberal values and his ruthless suppression of political dissidents. Opposition groups began to take their political struggle further.
Many Iranian freedom fighters came to this conclusion that in order to approach the Shah's regime, the only logical way is to go through the armed struggle. Therefore, this conclusion came not only from the people in freedom movement of Iran, but from the leftist groups, all of them. They came to the same conclusion.
اما از سال 44 به بعد تقریبا گروهایی که به وجود اومدن اکثرا طرفدار براندازی بودن، اکثرا طرفدار تغییر نظام بودن. حالا بعضی هم باز معتقد به کار سیاسی بودن، اما خیلی از گروه هم معتقد به کار مسلحانه بودن.
Across the political spectrum, from the right to the left, a diverse range of opposition groups were united in their aim to bring down the Shah's oppressive regime.
That time, everybody was against the Pahlavi. And they were a group that they climbed, and they were struggle, you know, arming struggle against them. And in that time, they were helping to be toppling regime. But after that, they changed their position.
The Iran Freedom Movement was one of the period's most important opposition groups. It was led by Mehdi Bazargan, who was later to become the Islamic Republic of Iran's first prime minister.
تا روز آخرشون تحت اول انقلابشون معتقد به رژیم سلطنتی و قانون اساسی و نظام شاهنشاهی بودن. نظام میبینه هم اول انقلاب هم اینا هنوز دنبال شورای سلطنت و دنبال این مسائل بودن.
But for some of the group's members, the agenda was not radical enough. A splinter group broke off from the IFM and formed what became known as the Mujahideen-e Khalq Organization, or MKO.
The first organizational activities of the Mujahideen-e Khalq was not a branch or an arm of the freedom movement of Iran. A group of the members, young members of the freedom movement of Iran, went underground and cut off their political organizational relations with the freedom movement of Iran and independently founded the Mujahideen-e Khalq.
Those members who went underground were particularly suspicious of what they saw as the Iran Freedom Movement's tendency towards American influence.
بعد که فهمیدن دوستانشون یه مقداری افکار آمریکایی و افکار غربی دارن، خود اینها اونا رو تحمل نکردن و از اونا جدا شدن.
The MKO grew from a small underground splinter group into a well-supported, ideologically driven religious organization, which quickly gathered a following of young, dedicated Muslims.
سازمان مراحل مختلفی رو پشت سر گذروند. ابتدا که به هر حال به عنوان یک چهره‌های مذهبی آمدند و سازمان رو بنیان گذاشتند که در این زمان به دلیل مذهبی بودن در بین مردم مذهبی تأثیرگذار بودند.
Obviously MKO had the image of being radical, being revolutionary, being good Muslims.
Iranians knew very well the role of America's CIA in the 1953 coup d'etat that ousted the democratically elected nationalist prime minister Mohammad Mossadegh. And when Ayatollah Khomeini called Iran's monarch a puppet of the West, the MKO took his words to heart. They went on to strike directly at what they saw as the Western backers of Iran's hated Shah.
سازمان اولین ترورهایی رو که انجام داد مربوط به نیروهای غربی بود. سازمان در سال 1353 دو مستشار نظامی آمریکایی رو به نام سرهنگ ترنر و سرهنگ پل شیفر در ایران ترور کرد و رسما اطلاعیه صادر کرد که ما این دو نظامی آمریکایی رو ترور کردیم. دومین عملیات سال بعد بود که در انجمن دوستی ایران و آمریکا در مشهد یک بمبی رو سازمان منفجر کرد و رسما به عهده گرفت. در سال 1355 گروهی از کارشناسان فنی یک شرکت اقتصادی به نام اکول رو اینها سه نفر از غربی ها که در این شرکت کار میکردن ترور کردند و کشتن و سازمان رسما این ترورها رو به عهده گرفت.
اما کلا خب اینا هدفشون مورد با امپریالیسم بود و بعدی اونا آدم های امپریالیسم بودن و به همین دلیل اونا رو خوب کشتن.
Though much later they would retract their claim of responsibility for the Americans' murders, at the time the MKO were far from secretive about their intentions or their political standpoint.
Each time they have been assassinating some Americans or some other individuals, they were issuing a political statement informing people of what has happened.
These high-profile killings were an embarrassment to the Shah, and the MKO soon became the target of a tough crackdown by the Shah's secret police, Savak. All of the MKO's leaders were arrested, and all but one were executed, all except Massoud Rajavi. Savak records show that Rajavi expressed his willingness to cooperate and was personally pardoned by the head of Iran's feared intelligence organization, General Nematullah Nasiri.
خود آقای نصیری که رئیس سازمان امنیت بود، ایشون هم نامه نوشته بود به خاطر همکاری که ایشون کرده و صادقانه برخورد کرده و مسائلی که دیگه کمک‌هایی که به سازمان امنیت داده و اینا، ایشون رو اعدام نکنن، که اینم تو پروندهش هست و همچین مسئله هست. به همین دلائل خلاصه ایشون به عبد گرفت و در زندان همه دوستانش که تو مرکزیت بودن اعدام شدن و ایشون فقط موند و ایشون شد رئیس مرکزیت داخل زندان.
Rajavi remained active while in prison. He began to send messages to other political prisoners, introducing himself as the leader of the only opposition group with the power to overthrow the Shah.
Rajavi had sort of greedy feeling to grab the power in the Mujahideen hierarchy and show himself as a sole leader and his organization as a sole organization who can be the leader of the next Iranian anti-Shah movement.
In the meantime, Rajavi sent a delegation of MKO members to see Ayatollah Khomeini, who is in exile in the Iraqi city of Najaf. The Ayatollah was already a vocal and popular opponent of imperialism, and Rajavi hoped that he could co-opt the religious leader's support to add to his own power. Rajavi's MKO presented themselves to the Ayatollah as an organization which could move forward Khomeini's vision of an independent Iranian state which did not rely on Western powers.
تحلیل سازمان این بود میگفتش که امام پتانسیل ضد امپریالیستیش خیلی بالاست و اینایی که اطرافش هستن کشش ندارن، اینا مرتجعن، کشش ندارن. بنابراین ما باید یه نیروی پنهان داشته باشیم، یه نیروی داشته باشیم، نیروی آماده داشته باشیم تا به مجردی که اگر دیدیم که یه دفعه آمریکایی‌ها خواستن علیه امام دست به توطئه بزنن، بیایم دفاع کنیم.
Rajavi hoped he could use the Ayatollah's popularity to enhance his own, but the spiritual leader of the Iranian revolution objected not only to the group's ideology, but also to its methods.
ایدئولوژیشون با ما مطرح کردن و آخر که خواستن نتیجه گیری بکنن این بود که از امام تاییدیه بگیرن. امام خیلی خونسرد و ملایم باشون برخورد کرده بود که گفته بود که بعدیت من به این نتیجه که شما شاید بیشتر از من قرآن و نهج البلاغه خونده باشید و بیشتر از من روی این مسئله کار کرده باشید، اما بعدیت با این چیزی که شما گفتید من به این نتیجه که ایدئولوژی شما مارکسیست به اضافه بسم الله است، لذا من تایید نمی کنم. لذا امام تا آخر هم اینا رو تایید نکرد و کارشون به اینجا کشیده شد.
آیت الله خمینی did not support the armed struggle. It was not only an ideological differences between the Mujahideen's ideological or reading of Islam with that of the late Khomeini, but it was also on the way, you know, armed struggle, the strategy of the struggle. He didn't believe on the armed struggle, and therefore he didn't support them on that one.
In 1978, a deal between Iran's Shah and Iraq's then Vice President Saddam Hussein forced Ayatollah Khomeini to move to France. Back in Iran, protests were intensifying and there was talk of revolution. Revolutionaries took over Iran's state television channel and announced the fall of the Shah to the nation.
Salam be millat. Durud be millat. Va harche hambaste tar ba shoma millat mubarez Iran. Va imruz be himmat mardom و در اوج خروش ملت توانستند به خانه خود راه یابند.
In January 1979, the Shah left Iran, ostensibly to receive medical treatment. He was never to return.
We'll have ample time. We'll have ample time after the operation to speak with you, gentlemen and ladies.
2 weeks later, Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Iran in triumph, signaling an end to over 2,000 years of Iranian monarchy. But during the weeks that followed, lawlessness and civil disorder continued. While chaos reigned, MKO members and other leftist groups attacked army garrisons and took weapons.
همون روزهایی که مردم مبارز با دست خالی مشغول مبارزه کردن برای ساقط کردن رژیم شاه بودند، متاسفانه گروه مجاهدین در صدد بردن سلاح‌ها از انبارهای رژیم و انبار کردن بود که از همون موقع باز حساسیت نیروهای مذهبی برانگیخته شد که سازمان این همه سلاح رو برای چه می‌خواد.
Unfortunately, after the victory of the revolution, some sort of the lawlessness, people, they were of opinion that revolution means everybody must do whatever they wanted to do.
The MKO also targeted government offices, where they took possession of documents which they believed would help them to establish control after the dust settled.
I think they had a very good vision that if they go underground again, they need weapon, and that was the right moment for them to have to obtain weapon from the garrisons while other people were trying to topple the Shah. They were thinking about their future and already planning to confront the new Islamic government.
The MKO would later claim that it was they who brought down the monarchy with the weapons they took from the Shah's military stores. But historians argue that armed groups such as the MKO were not in fact central to the revolutionary movement.
Neither MKO nor other guerrilla organization, Islamist or Marxist, who took arm against the Shah, really they didn't have any role. Because for the simple reason that they were all locked up in prison when the Islamic revolution started its momentum. Masoud Rajavi was in prison, so were all the other main mujahideen, or rather MKO's leaders.
When the government established the Pazargon government, we requested all the people to come and bring back their weapons. I'm afraid that Mujahideen or some other leftist groups, they did not obey that decision of the government. They kept their army.
When prison doors were opened to release dissidents who had been opposed to the Shah, one of those who went free was MKO leader Masoud Rajavi.
کلن مجاهدین خلق مارکسیست ها، چپی ها، توده ها، اینا دیگه در سال 1954 و 55 کاملا زمینگیر شده بودن. لذا انقلاب 1357 در آزادسازی اینا نقش موثری داشت. یعنی انقلاب که شد اکثر اینا از زندان آزاد شدن.
Iran's first post-revolutionary government was doing what it could to establish order, but groups such as the MKO refused to accept that the struggle was over.
The problem that we have with them was the same as problem we have with many other organizations, with other groups, and that was the complete the tendency to discard the laws.
In November, a group calling themselves the Muslim Student Followers of the Imam's Line occupied the United States Embassy, taking 52 US diplomats hostage. Iran's provisional Prime Minister Mehdi Bazargan, along with his cabinet, resigned within days. The MKO, keen to assert their anti-imperialist credentials, were enthusiastic supporters of the hostage-taking.
And we are not opposite with the American people. We are opposite with government in all of American government in all over the world. We are opposite. And we want to kick out, you know, all imperialism, you know, all imperialism from this country.
In January 1980, Iran held its first ever presidential elections, and Abul Hassan Bani Sadr became the country's first democratically elected head of state. The US embassy siege continued, and MKO members maintained a permanent guard outside the compound for the entire period. That same year, while Iran's revolutionary government was still in its early stages, long-time enemy Saddam Hussein sensed his opportunity. Saddam launched one of the bloodiest wars of the 20th century, killing an estimated 1 million people from both sides over a period of 8 years. The MKO requested a meeting with Ayatollah Khomeini, but Iran's leader had conditions.
Yes, in his statement he has said that one, that you put aside your arms and then we would sit and talk.
اگر رو روال عادی پیش می اومدن همه چیز فراهم بود. حتی یه دفعه اینا خواستن نوعی مظلوم نمایی کنن و خطاب به حضرت امام نامه‌ای نوشتن. حضرت امام به اونا گفت اگر شما اسلحه هاتون رو زمین بگذارید من خودم به دیدن شما میام، نیازی نیست شما بیایید.
But eventually, even without a promise from the MKO, Khomeini agreed to talks.
بعد از اون بود که رفتم اون اعلامیه مشی مسلحانه 30 خرداد رو دادند و بعد از اون دیگه تظاهرات مسلحانه و کشتن افراد و انفجار حزب جمهوری و مسائل اینجوری رو به وجود آوردن.
After talks between the Ayatollah and the MKO yielded no agreement, the group began to transform themselves into an underground movement ready to take power by force.
به جمع آوری نیرو، امکانات، تجهیزات و سلاح می پرداختند و خودشون رو در حال آماده سازی برای درگیری با جمهوری اسلامی بودند. بر مبنای یک تحلیلی که داشتن که نظام جمهوری اسلامی یک نظام متزلزلی هست، به محض ورود به فاز مسلحانه این نظام سقوط خواهد کرد و اونها قدرت رو به دست خواهند گرفت.
In January 1981, Ayatollah Khomeini ordered the release of the US hostages after they had spent 444 days in captivity. The MKO interpreted this as reconciliation with the imperialist West and accused Khomeini of treachery.
It's the most amazing thing in my life. We never expected anything like this.
Masoud Rajavi began to forge links with President Bani Sadr.
در اون توافقی که شد قرار بر این بود که از جنبش عمومی مردم است و این آقایان دفن تنها در مقام دفاع در برابر حمله مسلحانه حق داشتن دفاع مسلحانه از خودشون بکنن. چندین نوبت هم به اصطلاح برخورد کردیم به اینها که بعد که ما مطلع شدیم که اینها عرض کنم افراد عادی رو میکشن به عنوان این که این چیچی خمینی بوده، بقال رو نمیدونم، سبزی فروش رو، این تیب آدم ها رو یا کاستار معمولی رو.
منافقین سعی کردن از طریق بنی صدر وارد قدرت، یعنی قدرت رو در دست بگیرن، یعنی قدرت در دست بگیرن نه این که مثلا رئیس جمهور بشن. ها ببینین این نبود، یعنی از طریق بنی صدر بتونن ضربه ای رو که به نظام قراره بزنن.
The Iraq war was 8 months old and President Bani Sadr was dismissed as commander-in-chief after Iran suffered serious defeats and lost the city of Khorramshahr. Confidence in the country's president was at a low and an emergency meeting was held in parliament. As a result of the meeting in parliament, Bani Sadr was dismissed as president and immediately disappeared. The MKO lost its last hope of a position of power within the system, and on the 20th of June 1981, they launched an armed uprising that led to hundreds of deaths.
شما ملاحظه کنید که این جماعت تمام مرزهایی که در ایران حتی نوکران شناخته شده رعایت میکردن اینا رو شکستن، اصلا کاملا بیمانندن شدن تو ایران، از ارتباط با قدرت خارجی، از دروغ سازی، از ضد اطلاعات ساختن و پخش کردن. عرض کنم به شما این بی‌حیثیت کردن انسان، بی‌منزلت کردن انسان در حد حتی با افراد سازمان خودشون.
A week later, on the 28th of June, an explosion rocked the very heart of the Islamic Republic.
به دست ایادی آمریکا منتجه شد که منجر به شهادت چند تن از یاران وفادار امام امت و اعضای کابینه دولت و همچنین نمایندگان محترم مردم در مجلس شورای اسلامی شد.
Four weeks later, Masoud Rajavi and Abul Hassan